June 8th, 2020, and here the NFL is again, 4 years later. The ball on the same spot on the field. President calling out the league and the players. Frank Isola, Mina Kimes, Clinton Yates, thanks for joining us here today. All this is fascinating. All of this at the end of the week was fascinating as well, and I want your take on that. How the league had an employee working with players making that video. How the league rolled with the message completely word for word, Roger Goodell, from his home. And how Drew Brees, back again, even went back at the president. But as of Monday, June 8, 2020, I say again, Adrian Peterson saying the players will take a knee without a doubt. And front office sports reporting the NFL will likely allow players to demonstrate on the field during the anthem. Mina Kimes, I'll start with you. What position is the NFL in this time around?
I think the NFL is in the same position they were back in 2018 when they first considered changing their policy, prohibiting players from protesting during the national anthem. That was a decision that they would eventually walk back. The difference is the world around them has changed. Their understanding of the world around them has changed. And like so many other corporations across America, the NFL sees that and they recognize that there's not only a moral imperative to do this, to side with their players, but also a business one. And speaking of those players, Tony, I don't think it can be understated how impactful it was to have not just the players, the star players, Patrick Mahomes, the future of the NFL, hold them accountable on this issue, because that's another thing that didn't happen back in 2016, 2017, 2018.
Right. And that's the reason for the statement on Friday. What position are they in today after the president's tweet, Mina?
Roger Goodell has planted his flag, or rather his stance on the flag, and at this point, they cannot move. They are going to allow the players, again, it already was their policy to let them, but they are coming out and saying, we are going to let the players protest if they choose to do so. Something I think is interesting, Roger Goodell said that. Not the NFL owners. I'm guessing all of them don't feel the same way. But by saying that, if any of them disagree, they're going to have to say it with their chest and be held accountable for that decision.
Mm-hmm. Frank Isola, bring you in here after the president's tweet today. And even the message the league and Roger Goodell put out on Friday. What position are they in this time around?
And I think Roger Goodell said what needed to be said, considering the state that this country is in today. Is it good for business? Is it bad for business? We'll find out down the road. But there are no football games being played right now. So the worst thing that he could have done was remain silent. You know, Mina mentioned an interesting thing. She said, protest during the anthem. And this message has always gotten mixed up, where it's always been protesting the anthem. And I think for the president, I think he likes the fact that he's trying to drag the NFL into it. He wants this to be an issue where everyone's saying, you see, these players are disrespecting the flag. He wants to make it about being patriotic, where the players have always wanted to make it about something else. So unfortunately, I think for the president right here, I think he wants to get the NFL in this kind of debate. But I also, again, I think the NFL is doing the right thing.
You say the message gets mixed up. I mean, I think we're so far past the point of mixing up. Wouldn't you agree, Frank Isola? So that position, no, does Roger Goodell have to come out and now respond to the president today?
You know what? I have a funny feeling he won't do that. And I think when Mina talked about, you know, the owners, as they have the backing of all of them, I'm not so sure. But I even think Colin Kaepernick and a lot of members of the media had said a few years ago, you know what? It's getting lost. We keep talking about protesting the anthem when it's not about that. It even seemed like Colin Kaepernick was throwing his hands up in the air saying, you know what, maybe we'll go about doing it a different way, because we're focused always on who's being patriotic, unpatriotic, protesting the anthem, when that was never what he was trying to do.
Clinton Yates, what position is the NFL in today?
I think the NFL is in a decent position, only because they did the decent thing by allowing Roger Goodell to come out and speak. But I agree with Mina. I don't know that every single owner is on the same page as Raj, and that creates a situation that I would qualify as dicey. We've got a long time until this football season starts, and I'm not sure that I believe that in every single market in America where there's an NFL team, that something isn't going to crop up that's going to have some owner come out and do something that runs directly afoul of the apology and everything we heard them say. So while Roger, in my opinion, I know he represents the owners, but in this case, PR-wise, he represents Roger. I don't know that that's going to fly all the way until the fall, and that's going to be a really tricky scenario for the league owners specifically, not just the whole of that body.
Goodell didn't mention Kaepernick on Friday. I want to ask how Kaepernick factors into this, or if, even if he does factor into this, or is the conversation so much grander than that at this moment, Mina Kimes?
Oh, he looms over all of this, and he will for the foreseeable future and long beyond that, right? I think something that's worth noting is that Colin Kaepernick wasn't the only player to kneel. We forget that. Not only back in 2016, players continued to kneel. Kenny Stills, for example, continued to kneel. The policy never changed. But he became the flashpoint, the figurehead for the tension and divide and controversy. And I think that's why Roger Goodell, perhaps there might also be legal reasons why he's afraid to engage with him. But I also think they still, for all everything I said about how they understand the country has moved, I think they're still afraid of reigniting those tensions.
Fry Guy Sola?
Things. Number one, is he going to get an opportunity to try to play? That's one thing. Also, what are his expectations? Cam Newton right now does not have a job. Is Cam Newton thinking, I'm going to wait until I get a starting job? Am I willing to be a backup? We don't know where Colin Kaepernick sits. Is he willing to be a third-string quarterback, second string? Is he thinking, I'm only going to take a job if I'm a starter? So that's another part of the story that has nothing to do with protesting, police brutality and the anthem and everything like that. It's a football discussion at some point.
And Clinton Yates.
For me personally, as a black American and as a fan of sports, I don't need Colin Kaepernick to make an NFL roster in order to feel like his efforts were validated. If he wants to do it for him, for football purposes, I understand. But his usefulness, his utility to the cause overall has been maximized by him not playing football. And I don't think that means he shouldn't be in. I just mean that I don't know how much there is to gain at this stage of his career by getting in and getting on the pads and getting on a helmet when we all know that that problem overall is still looming in America.
A league where Colin Kaepernick is employed is a league that is still 6% black GM, 9% black head coach, 0% black ownership. And another thing that should be, this wasn't just what the message that Goodell put out on Friday, which came directly from the players, wasn't just about can we protest, you can protest. Goodell said Black Lives Matter. A league where Colin Kaepernick is employed is still a league that if you're going to believe what Goodell said on Friday, still has to put his brand behind Black Lives Matter as well. We've been Horn. We're going to take a break right here, pick up the conversation on the other side, talk about baseball's counter proposal, and whether we may have a season this year.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
Major League Baseball, count. I don't even know how many counters we're up to here, but the proposal from owners, 76-game season, 75% prorated salary, potential start date would be July 10th, finish would be, like usual, end of September, playoffs all through October. Players would have to sign an acknowledgement of risk as well. Clinton Yates, baseball, tonight, this afternoon, this year, at some point, please, is this the one?
I don't think this is the one, unfortunately, because even though the numbers look reasonable, when you do the actual math, it's basically 50% more work for only 10% more pay. And what that shows me is that the owners are not only not that concerned about whether or not baseball gets back, but they seem to believe that in this equation, they don't have to take on any of the risk. The players cannot remove any health concerns from their bodies once they get it if this goes down. All of the owners have to do is simply look at a situation where they say they're going to make less money. You can lose some money in order to keep baseball. That's why you own a baseball team. And that's what they seem to be indicating they're not willing to do. If you're asking me who's on the right side of history on this one, it's certainly the players because they're the ones at risk, not the owners.
You could lose some money if you own a baseball team. That's why you lose a that's not why you own a baseball team. I don't think, I get what you're saying.
You own a baseball team because you want to foster the growth of the game and the
country. Because you want to have baseball. That's why. Yes, of course. Since you're the person with the pencil in their hand, can we do the math again? You said it's 50% more.
Their previous offer was 50 games. This offer is 75% more games. The amount that the rate of pay goes up is not commensurate with the amount of games that goes up. That's what I'm saying.
Frank Isola, is this the proposal that gets us baseball?
I did not think we were going to have math on this show. You know what? One man's right. Olive branch is another man's thorn bush, and I think the players are looking at it like, no, this isn't going to fly. Do I believe that this season is going to end with Dodgers-Yankees? Yes. When it starts, I have no idea. I think it'll come down to a 50-game season, prorated salary. Here's the thing, Tony. The owners want to end by the end of October because they're worried about what health officials have said, possibly a second wave of the coronavirus. The last thing they want to do is be in a playoffs in November and have to shut the season down again.
Mm-hmm. And Mina Kimes?
I'm not the best at math either, but as I understand, this is the equivalent of that classic older brother move. I'll give you three shiny quarters for a dollar. Three is more than one. And as a younger sister, I fell for that too many times. The potential upside for the players, as I hear it, is that they could get more if there are a playoffs, but conversely, they get less if there are no playoffs. And this cuts to what Clinton said, which is this is all about risk and the owners trying to push all of that risk to the players at a time when they're taking on the physical risk. I hear details like they're still divided on whether players with immunocompromised family members can opt out. And that makes me think, man, the deal's not going to happen because they're still so far apart on so many issues.
So this is an absolute no for you from the players then, Mina. Clinton Yates, this is a no for you from the players. Frank,
this deal, yeah.
It is, and also, I just feel like the risk that the MLB is taking, they haven't even necessarily contacted all those local people. Story of the New York Daily News, you should check out, about the health risks. I don't trust them with that either.
All right. Isaac Kimes, I believe you owe your sister some money. And we owe your sister a one more segment. What did I tell to say? One person's buy or sell is every person's showdown. You're all making showdown. Coming up next, we're going to tell Djokovic, maybe you have to stay at an airport hotel. It's okay. In 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by The Last of Us Part 2. Available June 19th. Rated M for mature.
Iowa football putting strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle on administrative leave. Many former players came forward speaking of personal experiences they felt were racial injustices and systemic bullying this weekend. Doyle denies he ever operated with bias. We talked about Florida State last week, talked about Clemson last week. We talk about Clemson again this week, Dabo's T-shirt. Some notes on that. Football Matters, the campaign, says they're changing that name going forward. Mina Kimes, how do you consider it all?
I think a lot of these coaches can, should, will be held accountable in the coming weeks. But I also think it's worth pointing out that these players are coming forward, and that shows that they finally feel empowered to do so, because these aren't new issues, right? These are old issues that are resurfacing, and it speaks to the current environment, which I hope continues.
Clint Yates.
I think that this guy believes that he's probably right about what it is that he's done and operated without bias, but that's the whole issue, is that when you're coming from a position of power and you don't understand what the other people are dealing with, the kind of microaggressions and general culture that you instill is something that makes people uncomfortable. We need to take a look at that overall, not just this one guy in terms of college football.
Frank Isola.
And I don't think the two issues are similar at all. From my opinion on Dabo, here's the guy. If he had shown up at a press conference last Friday wearing that shirt, you would have said, really? You're wearing this shirt now? He's on vacation on a beach somewhere. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. And whoever took that Twitter shot of him deleted it right away when they realized that a lot of people would take that as maybe insensitive.
Understandably, as Clinton said, though, things mean different things to different people, right? And the campaign from the National Football Foundation was about sportsmanship, I believe, and character. But that, to some other people, that phrase means something completely different now. And an awareness is necessary for all. We'll move on. Showdown 2, U.S. Open. If you don't have Federer or Nadal or Djokovic, do you have a U.S. Open? Nadal, Federer on the fence, reportedly, according to Mark Berman of the New York Post. Djokovic says the rules for the tournament are too extreme right now. Players wouldn't have access to Manhattan, would have to sleep in airport hotels, be tested multiple times a week. And the rule for one person per player, a coach or a doctor or family, it's too tough. Frank Isola, do the stars have to get in line here, or does tennis have to listen to their stars?
Well, if they don't get in line, to me, you don't have a U.S. Open. Those are the top male players. You might have an empty U.S. Open. I don't like how Djokovic went after, you know, the hotels by LaGuardia Airport. It's right near Astoria, Queens. You get great Greek food down there. Good takeout.
All right. Clint Yates.
Quite frankly, I'm more concerned about what the ladies of the tournament have to say about this situation, because I'm there to see them in general. But I think he makes some amount of sense. Tennis players are playing an individual sport. There's a lot of people that put that together. But don't knock airport hotels, bro. They're useful. That's why they exist.
Okay. I'm sensing a theme here. Mina Kimes, how about you?
I'm not going to defend airport hotels. I don't usually like to stay in them, but I also don't say that out loud at a time when everyone's struggling. Not the best
that's
move
the point.
By Djokovic.
Yes. Yeah, that's the point. But does tennis have to get behind its star? We just talked about players finding a voice, Mina Kimes, in other sports. Can you have a tournament if you don't have Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic?
No, you don't, and that's the nature of the sport. They do have all of the power, much more so than other sports, and I think this speaks to that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Clint Yates, Mita Kimes, Frank Isola. I don't know what this is going to do to your winning percentage, all these shows without scoring. This is, I'm not going to explain it any other way than saying 2020, man, 2020. Take a 23-hour and 40-minute break. We'll be back tomorrow around the world.